This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We're turning our attention now to oil markets. Earlier this week, oil prices shot past $90 per barrel following the escalation of tensions between Iran and Israel. Although prices have since retreated, there are concerns that supply disruptions could surprise the market on the back of data reporting lower oil flow from Mexico, the U.S., Qatar, and Iraq.
The current situation is a marked reversal from just a few months ago, when oil dropped to a multi-month low in the wake of a surge in supply from the US and Russia. Meanwhile, there are expectations that demand will ramp up heading into the US summer season. So what are the factors that will influence how oil price trends move forward?
Joining us for more analysis on this is Vandana Hari, founder and CEO of Vanda Insights. Vandana, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. So as mentioned, Brent crude has retreated from the $90 levels reached following the Iranian bombardment of Israel. What does this indicate about how markets are viewing the geopolitical risks to oil?
Very good morning to you and to our listeners. So indeed, as you mentioned, Brent has pulled back. It was the highest to date year. This year was about $91. Today, this morning, we're sitting around $87. So it's not that far from the year's high. But more importantly for the market, it has not spiked towards 100 or even above 100 because of this escalation that we've seen between Israel and Iran. So what has happened over the past 2 to 3 days? So, of course, over the weekend, we saw this very heavy drone and missile unprecedented bombardment by Iran directly on Israeli soil. But what's happened since then appears to be a gradual de-escalation. So Israel is not poised to retaliate in kind, and a lot seems to be going on behind the scenes diplomatically. The U.S. especially seems to be doing its best to dissuade Israel from further escalating this conflict with Iran, through diplomatic means and diplomatic measures, such as sanctions against Iranian drone activity. So that's the hope right now. But you don't see oil tumbling, crude prices tumbling, because there is still considerable geopolitical risk premium in prices. So you have the Gaza war. You also have the Ukraine war festering away.
And yes, you say, right, the geopolitical concerns still remain. The U.S. has renewed sanctions on Venezuelan oil. Congress has also included Iranian sanctions in its foreign assistance bill. How does this all shape supply of oil?
Yeah, that's very interesting to look at. So because both Venezuelan and Iranian sanctions have been in the news in the same week. But it's important to bear in mind that neither of them is actually going to directly substantially impact global oil supply. The reason for that is that Venezuelan sanctions had been lifted or suspended for 6 month period that has expired. And the US has said that we will not continue the suspension. In other words, some of the sanctions on Venezuelan oil sector are being renewed. But that's not expected to have a substantial impact on global oil supply, because Venezuelan oil had gone up perhaps 100,000 barrels per day, which is a relatively small number. And that may not be affected because the U.S. company Chevron is going to be allowed to continue working in Venezuela and increasing production there. So the market is not unduly concerned about a drop in Venezuelan supply as a result of what happened with the sanctions this week. With regard to Iran, it's very interesting. So Iran is already under draconian U.S. sanctions against its oil sector. That is not changing. It's not being tightened. What the U.S. has done is sanction technology that Iran might use in its drone manufacturing. So again, it's the picture is very clear to the market. This is election year in the U.S. They do not want oil prices and their pump prices to go any higher than what they are. So the U.S. seems to be tiptoeing around these issues, especially making sure it doesn't do anything that jeopardizes global oil supply.
Okay, Vandana, what about on the demand side? We've got, of course, better than expected first quarter China GDP. We've got a US economy, and we're heading into summer driving season also.
Yeah, so the 5.3% GDP growth that China reported, better than expected for the first quarter, doesn't move the needle at all in the oil market, or in terms of what the consensus view is within the oil market for Chinese demand growth. So our expectation at Vanda Insights is that most of the Chinese rebound in terms of economic demand, economic rebound or oil demand rebound post-COVID happened in 2023. This year, we expect both the economic activity and oil demand growth to slow down substantially in China. So I would say China is almost not a factor. It's a bit like more of the same when it comes to oil demand scene. The US is indeed entering its high summer demand, driving demand season, which usually perks gasoline demand. I would caution, however, from having a very rosy view in terms of U.S. demand growth in the coming months, because, you know, signs of trouble are appearing. So, yes, the economy has been very resilient and all of that. But it looks like the Fed is going to keep rates higher for longer. We don't know what the consumer sentiment is going to be like this summer. Plus, combined with that, relatively high pump prices, definitely higher than where they were this time last year. Mm. So we may not see that kind of boom in gasoline consumption that some of the optimists or oil bulls have been expecting.
Okay, so the demand outlook is still pretty fragile, but I'm wondering how would these global conditions factor into OPEC Plus strategy moving forward? They do have their production cuts in place. This is set to expire in the first half. Are they going to renew those production cuts for the second half of the year as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a difficult meeting for OPEC Plus energy ministers when they meet on the 1st of June to contemplate what they will do for the third quarter of this year. I mean, they could decide for the remaining half of the year, but I expect them to take it, you know, one step at a time. What shall we do for the third quarter? OPEC itself, last week in its monthly outlook report, has put out extremely bullish numbers in terms of global oil demand growth for the third quarter. Which seemed to be preparing the ground for OPEC to start bringing back some of the, you know, over 2.2 million barrels per day of oil that they have removed from the market. I do feel, however, it's going to be a difficult decision. I think they'll very carefully watch if demand indeed goes on the trajectory that they seem to be, their analysts seem to be expecting. And also, you know, when they look at oil prices, yes, I do believe that OPEC Plus wants to be a stabilizing force in the market. So just as they want to protect prices from going too far south, they do want to prevent, you know, $90 and $100 prices. But what is behind that price rise? I think they'll have to very carefully look at that. If it's fear premium, so supply has not been affected, but it's simply fear that's driving up prices, then do they want to put more oil out in such a scenario into the market? I think it'll be a difficult decision for them.
And Vandana, how will oil prices trend in the coming months, and what is it predicated on?
Oh, that's perhaps the most difficult question to answer. Look, when we started out this year, of course, the Gaza war had started, but it wasn't as bad as the turn it has taken in recent weeks. Ukraine was simmering away. Again, it wasn't as bad as what we have seen with the drone attacks on Russian refineries in March. So at the start of this year, our outlook was more like 70 to 80, more like $75 to $80 sort of range for average for this year. We have moved it up since, because I do feel that the Ukraine war and the Gaza war, unfortunately, are proving they worsened and going to be intractable problems, at least going to take several more months, if not years. So I would say perhaps 80 to 85 for Brent looks more like the sort of equilibrium range for this year.
Vandana, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Vandana Hari, founder and CEO of Vanda Insights, walking us through the dynamics affecting oil prices and the kind of price range that we could be expecting. So many uncertainties still in the mix. We'll be watching this space very closely. It's 7:47 in the morning. We're going to be heading into some messages, but when we come back, we'll discuss the restructuring of EPF accounts. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.